unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children's of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. And God, we come before your throne this morning, and we just say thank you so much for this privilege, God, that we have to be able to come together and worship. Father, what a privilege it is. What a joy it is. What a pleasure it is. As the Word of God says, it is pleasant to worship God. It is pleasant to sing to you. And Father, we just ask and pray over these next few moments that you would just take this time, Lord, and just mold our hearts and shape our hearts as we look at this text and see what it means. God, and we ask this question, how do we apply it to our lives? So God, speak to us right now. We love you, we love you, we love you. And everyone said, amen. Please be seated again. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for watching online. We're so glad that you've chosen to worship alongside us. So last week, we looked at Psalm 126. Next week, we're going to look at Psalm 128. And then starting in the very beginning of June, the very first Sunday in June, we are going to start a summer series on Sunday mornings in the book of James. So I'm really, really excited about that. And today, we are going to look at this amazing psalm, Psalm 127. Psalms 126, 127, and also 128 fall into a line of psalms called the Psalms of Ascents. And you, maybe in your Bible, it might even say that above this psalm. It may say something like that, a psalm of ascent. And what is that? Well, a psalm of ascent was sung by pilgrims as they made their way to Jerusalem to these yearly festivals to worship. As they made their way up to Jerusalem, they would sing some of these psalms or all of these psalms. And these psalms of ascent are psalms of worship that reminded these pilgrims as they were on their way to Jerusalem of who God is and all that he has done. And they are psalms that remind us as to how followers of God, followers of Jesus Christ, should live. And this psalm that we are looking at today, Psalm 127, is a psalm that deals with concerns in life that we all have, or things in life that we are all a part of. Things like our jobs, things like our businesses, things like marriages, things like the church, things like our finances, or things like school, relationships, friendships. So it deals with all types of different concerns or things that we have in our life. It also deals with personal security or security over the affairs of life. It also deals with the family, verses 3-5, or raising a family or our role in the family. And I'd venture to say that all of us who are in this room today, that those of you who are watching online this morning, I would venture to say that we desire success or we desire victory in all of these things that I had just mentioned. We want victory. We want success in things like our jobs, things like our businesses, our marriages, the church, in our finances, in our school, in our activities, in our relationships, and also in our friendships. We want, you know, success, and we want victory over all of those affairs in our life. We also desire naturally safety and security, or safety and security over all of the affairs of our lives. We want to raise our families well. We want to be a good family member. So because of the fact that this psalm, it covers all of these things in just these few short verses, let's ask and answer this question this morning. And the question is this: how can we have biblical victory over every area of our lives? How can we have success? How can we have biblical victory over every area of our lives? And notice that I put biblical victory. Biblical victory, because a lot of times what the world says success is often different from what the Word of God says that success is. So please understand that. It's biblical victory, biblical success. How can we have that in our life? And if you're taking notes, and I apologize for that, but it's just the way it is. We're not passing out bulletins for quite some time moving forward. So I encourage you to bring a notebook or something like that, or write it on your arm or your hand or your forehead, whatever you want to do. But the first point is this. Let's depend on God in the everyday matters of life. Again, look at the beginning of verse 1. This psalm of ascent, as they are going to Jerusalem to worship and to participate in these festivals, and they're reminding themselves of these truths in the Word of God. They said this, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. This is a psalm of ascent that was written by King Solomon. If you remember in the Bible, King Solomon was that dude in the Bible. He had everything. He was one of the most richest people in the Bible. He had everything that one could think of. He also wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. And if you go back and you read the book of Ecclesiastes, what he basically says in the book of Ecclesiastes, I can sum it up in just a few short words. What he says is this, without God, it's all vanity. 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 He uses the word vanity in the book of Ecclesiastes over and over. Again, he had it all. And what he's saying is without God, it's all in vain. What he's saying, unless God is in it, it doesn't matter. That's what he says in the book of Ecclesiastes. That's what he's saying here in Psalm 127. He's saying, unless God does it, unless God builds the house, it's not going to last. You know, there's many things in my life, let me back up. There are a few things in my life that I can do, but there's many things that I cannot do, all right? There's a lot of things that I cannot do. If I need my vehicle worked on, guess what? If I want it to last, I don't work on it myself. I take it to my dad. He knows what he's doing under the hood of a car. If I have an issue with technology, guess who I call? Tyson. His number, by the way, is, just kidding, I won't give it out, all right? I call Tyson. If I have a question about my insurance or church insurance, you know who I call? Bill Reese, insurance guru. If I have a question about food or making food for a lot of people, you don't want me doing that. You know who I call? Miss Susan Gibson. If I need something at my house plumbed or taken care of in that area, you know who I call? Mickey Smith. His number is, by the way, just kidding. If I need something decorated in my house, you know who we call in our house? Heather Cole. She's really good at that, by the way. So if you need anything decorated, call Miss Heather Cole. You see, we are wise to approach the experts in things like this and things like the matters of life. But we are so much wiser to approach God in every matter of our life. If we want to have biblical victory, if we want to have biblical success over every area of our lives, we must depend on God in the everyday matters of life, in everything. Guess what? God wants you to do that. He wants you and I to depend on Him in everything that we are a part of. Again, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. And you can say it like this, unless God builds the marriage, we will try to make it work in vain. Unless God builds the business, our own worldly success will be in vain. Unless God establishes my career, my pursuits will be in vain. Unless God directs my future, then my plans will be in vain. Unless I find my peace in God, my worldly peace that I can try to find will be in vain. Unless God handles this issue, my efforts will be in vain. Unless God builds the family, our earthly approaches to raising a family will be in vain. You see, God wants us to depend on Him in all matters of life. You can write this down. Here's another way of saying this, and you can write this down. If we want to have biblical victory over every area of our lives, commit everything I do to the Lord and trust God with the results. And when I say everything, I mean everything, every area of our lives. Knowing this truth, as these pilgrims were reminding themselves of this truth, knowing that unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain, we should start by seeking God's glory in every endeavor, every single day. God, I want your glory in this marriage. I want you to build it. Therefore, God, I commit it to you. God, I want your glory in this business. I want you to build it. Therefore, God, I commit it to you. God, I want your glory in this career. God, I want you to build my career. Therefore, God, I commit it to you. God, I want your glory in this issue. We all face issues in our life. We all face things that we deal with on a daily basis. God, I want your glory and I want you to build it. God, I commit this issue to you. God, I want your glory in this friendship or this relationship that I'm entering into. God, I commit it to you. I want you to build it. God, I want your glory in my future. I want you to build my future. I commit it to you. God, I want your glory in my family. I want you to build my family. I commit it to you. God, I want your glory in this retirement. God, therefore, I commit it to you. That's what it looks like. Jesus himself says, and he's talking about having your needs met, but we can also apply it to this situation as well. He says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. He's calling us to seek God's glory in all that we do, and he's going to give us what we need. He'll give us what we need practically, but he'll also give us what we need in life. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You see, he's calling us to commit everything we do to the Lord and to trust God with the results. I love this proverb. It says, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. What's that mean? That means every aspect of life. Yes, our work. Yes, yes, our jobs. Yes, our endeavors. Yes, that in which we are doing. But every aspect of our life, our marriages, decisions in life, our businesses, again, our careers, our future, our family, our retirement, our relationships, any issues that arise, commit it to the Lord and he will establish our plans. I love what Jesus says. This is again, I've said this a million times, but it's one of my life verses. It's an amazing verse where Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and that word abides, it means to stay with, it means to walk with, it means to remain with. He says, whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. And I'd venture to say that we all want to bear fruit. That means this. That means that whenever we do things that, you know, are part of our everyday lives, they're going to point to God. They're going to point to his glory. He says, he it is that bear much fruit. He says, for apart from me, you can do nothing. And that's a great truth for us to remember. Unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. Apart from Jesus Christ, we can do nothing. Or you could say it like this, nothing of significance. Or nothing that really, really matters. If we want our lives to matter and we want to have biblical victory and biblical success in every area of our lives, we must do as Jesus says. We must stay close to Jesus. We must remain in Jesus, walking with him. Apart from him, as this text says, we can do nothing. Again, how can we have biblical victory over every area of our lives? We must depend on God in the everyday matters of life and everything and commit everything I do to the Lord and trust God with the results. Next, how can we have biblical victory over every area of our lives? Write this down. Depend on God for my security. How many of you in this place like to feel secure? Two hands up right here. Two hands up. But you know what? In this world, we have to depend on God for our security. Look at the rest of verse 1. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Again, this was written by King Solomon. King Solomon was in charge of an entire nation, the nation of Israel. And if you remember, you go back and read in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel had enemies from every single side. And what he was saying here is this: unless God protects us, our watchman stays awake in vain. Unless God does this work, unless God is watching over us, it doesn't really matter. You can stay up watching all you want. I read this story this past week about this man of the name Felix of Nola. It says, in the 3rd century, this man, Felix of Nola, near Naples, was being hotly pursued by persecutors. He took refuge in a ruinous old wall, and the opening was quickly covered by a spider's web. When his enemies saw it, they concluded that he could not have recently hid there and left. Felix made the comment, "With Christ, a spider's web becomes a wall, and without Christ, a wall is no better than a spider's web." And safety and security, that's something that we all want. And if we want security and if we want safety, as we all want that, and as we want that over the affairs of our life, we have to depend on God ultimately for it. If we want safety, yes, we should take the appropriate steps to be safe, but guess what? We don't live in fear. We pray for God's protection. If we want security over our lives, if we want security and safety over every aspect of our lives, over our businesses, over our finances, over our possessions, we do things God's way, and then we trust Him to watch over our daily affairs. We trust God to fight for us in every area of our lives. I love this verse in Exodus 14. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. If you're His child today, He's fighting for you. He's fighting for you. Proverbs 21. The horse is made ready for the day of battle, but victory belongs to the Lord. How can we have biblical victory over every area of our lives? Depend on God for my security and not myself. Next, how can we have biblical victory over every area of our lives? Depend on God for my provision instead of anxiously overworking. The next part, verse 2. King Solomon says, "It is vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep." Solomon is saying, you can get up early, go to bed late, anxiously working to provide for your needs, but if you're not going to depend on God, it's all going to be in vain. That's what he's saying here. You know, I'm very thankful for my upbringing. Growing up, I grew up in the country, and I learned how to work. I learned how to work from my dad and from my uncles and also from my grandfather. They taught me how to work hard. I grew up working in my dad's shop, turning wrenches, pushing a broom, cleaning up things that were covered in grease, hauling hay, fixing fence, working cows, mowing the pasture, brush hogging things, mowing the lawn. I mean, you name it, I did it growing up. And one thing I appreciate so much about my family is that, of course, they taught me how to work hard. But one thing I so appreciated from my family is that as we worked hard, I always knew that my family was going to stop. I always knew that at some point in the day, at some time in the day, we were going to stop. One thing I so appreciated about my dad is that my dad, he always came home. He worked extremely hard at what he did, very, very hard. Even to this day, works extremely hard at what he does. But also to this very day, what does he do? He comes home. He stops. My grandparents, they taught my family, they taught us how to worship. And they also taught us how to rest on days like today. We would stop our work on Saturday, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Sunday was a day that was committed to the Lord. And we would go and we would worship. And then we would come back to my grandma's house and we would rest. And all of my cousins would be there and we would rest on this Sabbath day. And I'm so grateful that I was taught that. Taught how to work hard. but taught as well, stop. Stop. You see, work is something that affects all of us. You see, we're all called to work hard, but we're not called to overwork. I want to say that again. We're all called to work hard, but we're not called to overwork. The Bible tells us this, that we're called to work hard. Go to the ant, O sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise without having any chief officer or ruler. She prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest? And poverty will come upon you like a robber and want like an armed man. Again, we're called to work hard, but we're not called to overwork. You see, whenever we cease from our work and whenever we go home, what we are saying is this. We're saying, God, I've worked hard, but God, I trust you to meet my needs. I trust you. I trust you to provide for me. I trust, God, that what I've done will be enough. You see, again, the Bible calls us to work hard, but to stop and to trust God for the results. It also calls us to rest in God. Again, look at the last part of verse 2. I'll read it again. It says, for he gives to his beloved sleep. What that means is this, work hard and go home and rest. Go home, lay your head down on the pillow and rest and trust the fact that God has this. God's got this. He'll provide for you. Dr. Meredith says, the person who never sleeps but is a slave to work is a candidate for great anxiety, ulcers, and panic attacks. These are some of the many results of a failure to rest in God. Worry involves a lack of faith, a lack of dependence on God. So remember this, every night that you have an opportunity to rest after a good day's work, you have the opportunity to express your trust in God. He continues to work while we rest. Believers should remind themselves of these truths. When they go to bed, number one, we aren't God. Number two, we need God. Number three, we are loved by God. For he gives to his beloved sleep. You can rest. How many of you need to hear that today? I do. Because of my upbringing, I was taught to work hard. I have a tendency to overwork. I have a tendency to not stop. Guess what? He gives sleep to his beloved. Listen, son of God, daughter of God, you can stop. You can rest. He has you in the palm of his hands. He's got it. And it's all going to work out just fine. Amen. And lastly, and I apologize, I'm moving as fast as I can. Let's depend on God's blessing on my family. Depend on God's blessing on my family. As this text tells us, it tells us that children are a blessing, aren't they? They're a blessing. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. And as we see that this text tells us that all children are a blessing, and knowing this truth, that all children are a blessing, it is our job as followers of Christ, whether you have children or grandchildren or not, it is our job as followers of Christ to point all children to the Lord because children are a blessing. This text is really interesting. As I have studied this text intently this past week, it's really interesting. Verses 4 and 5 mean this. They mean that children are protectors. In other words, that if you are a child, and that's every single one of us in this place, you have a role to protect parents, or you have a role to protect senior adults. Let me explain to the best that I possibly can. Okay, it says, like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. What this verse is essentially saying during this time period is this, is that the more children, the better. The more children you have, the more protection that you'll have. It says that in the town gate, he will not be put to shame. You see, the town gate is where business was conducted. And because of this man's many children, his many children will protect him from shrewd businessmen when his business is conducted. His children are there to watch over him. His children are there to protect him. In my home right now, of course, I have two sons and a little girl, and I love watching how, as Macy gets older, Jude and Colson are becoming her protector, and I love it. Like, you don't stop that. Even when she gets to be 16 especially, you keep protecting her. You keep watching over her. Even last night, Macy had something in her mouth, and Colson's like, Macy, get that out of your mouth. You're going to choke. And I love how my sons are just watching over my daughter. But guess what? As my sons get older, Colson and Jude, your job is to protect me and your mama, all right? And that's all of our roles as followers of Christ, as children of God. We are called to look out for each other. We are called to protect, especially our parents, but especially those who are more advanced in age. Say it like that. You see, as our parents age and as senior adults age in our church, we as followers of Christ are to offer them physical protection. We're asking this question: are they provided for in their homes? We're called to offer them emotional protection. Are they lonely? Do they have friends? Are they being abandoned? We're called to offer them social protection. Are they being taken advantage of in any way? And as followers of Christ, as we have parents at age, again, I said this earlier, we're called to do this for those in the local body as well. We're called to do this for those in this congregation as well. If you go and you read the book of 1 Timothy and you get to 1 Timothy chapter 5, Paul is, he's writing to the church, and Paul tells Timothy, he says, treat older men as fathers. He says, treat older women as mothers. He's saying, take care of widows. And if you are in this place today and you are able-bodied and you're a member of this congregation, you're a member of this church, you and I are called to protect the senior adults in this church. The Bible calls us to do that. That's what this text is saying, is that we are called to protect. We are called to look out for those in our church who need physical protection. Are they being provided for? We're called to look out for their emotional protection, for their social protection. And this goes back to my original point. This is why it's so important to point all of our children to the Lord so that they know their role growing up and so that they know their role in the church. Does that make sense? That's why it's so important for us to point these blessings to the Lord, the blessings of our children. How can we have biblical victory over every area of our lives? Depend on God's blessing on my family. How? By praying for our families, by praying for all children, by raising them in the Lord. And as parents, we have that responsibility. But as the church, we have that responsibility to raise them in the Lord so that they would understand their role for their parents and senior adults by offering them physical, emotional, and social protection. How can we have biblical victory over every area of our lives? Number one, depend on God in the everyday matters of our life. You can't do it on your own. He wants you to depend on Him for everything. Depend on God for your security. He will fight for you. He has you in the palm of His hands. He loves you. Depend on God for my provision instead of anxiously overworking. Today, go home and take a nap. Rest in the Lord. Rest on this Sabbath day and understand that Monday's coming. God's got it in the palm of His hands. Tomorrow, when your work is finished, put it aside, go home and rest and depend on God's blessing on my family by pointing my family and by pointing all children to the Lord. We all have a role in that. In closing, as I said earlier, King Solomon, he wrote this chapter in the Psalms. He also wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. And he said again, it's all vanity without God. It's all vanity. It's all vanity. And it's very interesting. As you read the book of Ecclesiastes and you see what he was saying, and you go to the very end of the book of Ecclesiastes, he sums it up in one verse. And to me, this verse, it sums up this entire message. The verse is this. He says this. This is the end of the matter. All has been heard. He says, this is it. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. I love it. That sums up really the entire Bible. How should I live my life? Well, it's very simple. Fear God, that means to stand in awe of him, to respect him, to respect his ways, to trust him, to read his word and to abide by it, even if it doesn't make sense. That's what it means to fear God. You keep his commandments, as the text says. That's the whole duty of man. That's your life. That's my life. That's what we're called to do as believers in Christ. If we want to have biblical success in our lives, that's what we do. We fear God and keep his commandments. That's the whole duty of man. And if we do that, guess what? Our life will not be in vain. It's as simple as that. Your life will matter for the kingdom, for glory, for his glory. I said in closing about 30 minutes ago, I know that. Last point. How can we have biblical victory over every area of our lives? Lastly, depend on Jesus Christ alone for my salvation. Again, this psalm is talking about doing our part, about, you know, working and entrusting God with us. But I want us to understand something this morning, is that we're called to do our part in this life. We cannot work for our salvation. Does that make sense? We cannot work for our salvation. We depend on Jesus Christ alone for our salvation. Paul says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Listen, you may be in this place today trying to just be good enough, trying to do all the right things so that God would love you, so that God would like you. Listen, you don't get to make that choice. God loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you no matter what. You don't have to earn his love today. You can rest in that more than anything. You don't have to earn it. You may say, well, Caleb, I've messed up again and again. Guess what? So did I. So did I yesterday and the day before that and the day before that. We don't earn God's love. He loves us. We depend on Jesus Christ alone for our salvation. Why do we need salvation? Well, because of sin. What's sin? Sin are mistakes that we have made. And that the Bible tells us that our sin, it separates us from God. It tells us in Romans 6, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. But it also tells us this, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We depend on Jesus Christ alone for our salvation, to forgive us from our sin. Would you pray with me? And with your head bowed and your eyes closed, maybe you're in this place today, or maybe you're watching online and you've tried to earn the love of God, and you're jumping through all the hoops, and you're trying to do things to make God like you, to make God love you. Can I just remind you this morning that you cannot earn the love of God, that it is a gift. He proved how much that he loved you by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for your sin. The Bible says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Saved from what? You're saved from the penalty of your sin. And the Bible says that if you call on the name of Jesus Christ to save you, you believe in his finished work on the cross, that he will come and he will abide in your heart. He will send his spirit to live inside of you. And he'll lead you and he'll guide you and he'll direct you and he'll change you from the inside out. He loves you. Would you call on him to save you today if you've never done that? Would you receive the free gift of salvation? God, we come before your throne this morning and we say thank you so much for this great reminder. May this be a psalm of ascent that we sing every day as we come to worship and as we live our lives. May this be a psalm of ascent that we pray and sing. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. God, we depend on you every day in the matters of life. God, we depend on you for our security. God, we depend on you for our provision. Instead of anxiously overworking, Father, help us to rest in you. God, help me to rest in you. Help my brothers and my sisters in this place today to rest in you. God, knowing that you're fighting for them, you're fighting for their situation, you're fighting, God, for every aspect of their life. And God, help them to go to sleep today, tonight, resting in you, knowing that you are good. God, and lastly, we depend on you for the blessing of our families. Because, Father, we want our families to be pointed to you. We want our families to function in a way that is honoring to you. So, Father, we depend on you to bless our families so that our families, Father, would simply bring glory to you. God, we stand on you. We love you, Father. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Church family, would you stand to your feet? Right now, we're just going to sing a song of declaration, this song of declaration back to our God. And I just want to encourage you to sing it out loud, to sing this truth.